Hello there, and welcome to the Draft Talk podcast, your one-stop shop for all your draft needs. It's the last Draft Talk podcast. Not ever, of course, but the last one before this year's draft. We'll be back after to do a bit of a recap. But for now, yeah, it's on the horizon. The draft is extremely close. Late Thursday night, early Friday morning, it's going to kick off, and cannot wait. So, yeah, let's get cracking, aim, or it'll be here. So, yeah, I'm your host as ever, Brian, and you know who it is joining us as ever. These two legends, it's Owen and it's Stu. How are you guys?
Yeah, so close to draft now. You can almost taste it. It's starting to become silly season again. We were just talking about it before we came on. Anything and everything is being reported now. It's time for it just to happen now. We need to cut out all the nonsense and let's get to the salient point.
Yeah, it's rumour season. Anything could happen at any point here now. We think we're basically on the home stretch. We'll see how things play out. But yeah, I'm very worried something happens before this comes out because things move very quickly in the NFL. But we'll roll with it.
Yes, we shall see. That's the podcaster's curse, as we'll call it. Quite often happens. But hopefully save it and it all happens at the draft. That'd be lots of fun. But yes, with a bit of a one-off just before we do get to the draft, thought we'd open the doors, we'd get some questions in from you, our wonderful listeners, to ask the guys and have a bit of a chat, see what we fancy. So let's dive into it, guys. Let's get your takes on some of these. First, we've got Duncan. A good question. Good question, Duncan. Knows his stuff. How many stone-cold first-rounders are there? Obviously, there's 32 guys getting drafted. I know that one.
Yeah, there will be.
But in terms of first round grades.
Yeah, there's no Miami Dolphins messing that up. It will be 32 this year, won't it? I could probably rattle 15 off without even thinking about
it. Should we go through them?
Yeah, let's go. Yeah.
Do it.
Quarterback.
Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, JJ McCarthy, I think is nailed on now.
Yeah.
That's going to be four.
No running back.
Yeah, I agree.
Wide receiver. Mailed. They would be.
Yeah, AD Mitchell's that fifth one. You kind of.
It's whether you can probably say mailed, isn't it? Probably.
Four. Yeah.
There'll be
definitely four.
We'll get onto. I'm sure we've got another question on it. There'll be more than four that go receivers, but there's four that I feel assured definitely will go. So Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, and Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, that's a four, I would say.
What about offensive linemen?
Joe Alt, Olu Fashanu, Troy Fontenot,
Fuanga, Mims.
Probably Mims and Latham.
Yeah. It's just interior then, isn't it? I'm not sure you could say nailed. So six. Things with the interior, though, we may see one go. I'm not sure I feel nailed that either Graham Barton or Jackson Powers Johnson do go, even though they're being mocked highly. I wouldn't say they're nailed.
Yeah, I wouldn't put a cold cash on it.
Yeah, yeah. Defensive line.
I think Dallas Turner.
Latu.
Verse.
Jarvis, Byron Murphy.
I think that's four.
Yeah, I do too.
What we're seeing, I would have five, but I think it's four.
Absolutely. Yeah. The best player of a lot of them isn't on that list. It's just on Johnny Newton. Unbelievable. It just the momentum just isn't with him at the moment. And the draft does work in momentum when we get to draft week. If he's not in insiders mocks or even
he's not spoken
about as a first rounder, then I mean, he could go, but it feels ominous, doesn't it? And I mean, someone's getting a steal. I just can't get my head around it. Anyway, no linebackers. Corners. We're not going to have any safeties either, so it's just corners then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Quinyon Mitchell.
Armstead. Teddy and Arnold. I'm still too much thinking about Miami Dolphins. DeJean.
Yeah.
I think that's all I would say, 100%.
Quinyon Mitchell, Terry and Arnold, Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, there will be more.
There's 21.
Yeah, there we go.
There's 21 that we think are locked in to the first round. There's plenty of us that could go, or I think Jason Newton should go. AD Mitchell should go as well.
I think Kool-Aid McKinstry probably will.
Yeah, it's just that injury, isn't it?
Yeah.
It makes it debatable. So I think we would have more than that in terms of first round grades, but in terms of first round locks, 21.
Yeah, there we go. I had 15 off the top of my head and we've added a few more, so that's not bad.
Absolutely. There we go. 21. Pencil them. Don't pencil them in. Pen them in.
Pen. Marker. Pen. Sharpie.
Big old marker, mate. Yes. And again, carrying on from Duncan. If you collect them with positions, which I think is what it means. Which team's draft position is the first in is the first drop off?
Which team's draft position is the first is the drop off? So I think what he's saying is that at what point do we stop having the first round just become fringe second round?
Right, that makes sense. Yeah, excellent question.
I think that's how I interpret it anyway.
Me too.
And the 21, it's very easy to say pick 21. But it probably starts getting a bit dodgy, probably about 24, I would say, in between that Cowboys-Packers range is where you see the drop-off.
Yeah, we've kind of when we've been mocking, we've kind of hit the Cowboys and Packers and kind of went, what are we going to do here? And it starts becoming, let's not say there isn't good players, but it starts becoming, there's potential for all the top wide receivers, top tackles to be off the board. That's when you start looking at that second tier. And if I trade down a bit, do I lose a huge amount, you know, if you're in that spot? So, yeah, that it always is, isn't it? It's that last 8 to 10 picks of the first round tend to be where, you know, is that much? The benefit is you get the fifth year option, but is there that much benefit than being in the top 40? You're starting to look at that kind of range.
Good stuff. Next, we've got Johnny. He's drafting JJ McCarthy in the top 10. A mistake.
Ooh.
Yes. No, I don't know. I think the easy answer is yes, because a lot of people have seen JJ McCarthy kind of come from nowhere almost to be now this, or he's going to be traded up for and teams are going to give up lots of assets. I think it's really difficult to say whether it's a mistake or not at this stage, even that he's drafted. I think you have to be looking at 2026, 2027 before you decide if it's a mistake. You know, JJ McCarthy might come in and be the next coming of whoever, and he gets the Vikings or whoever it is draft him to a Super Bowl within his first couple of years. If he does that, he's definitely not a mistake. But I don't think you could call it on draft night immediately. I think that you have to go through the evaluation. But would I do it myself? Probably not. But, you know, teams get desperate and teams need quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's very easy to look back, isn't it, and say whether it was a mistake to pick someone in the top 10 or not. And it's always the wrong way to look at it from my perspective. You have to look at the decision making at the time, not 2 years after. So yes, if he hits or not, yeah, it was a brilliant decision. But just because a player doesn't hit doesn't mean it was the wrong decision at the time. It could have been the best thing for the franchise. And for JJ McCarthy and for quarterbacks who get taken in the top 10, for me, it comes down to what is the team's conviction. If you're the Minnesota Vikings and you are hell-bent that JJ McCarthy is going to be your franchise quarterback, then that is not a mistake. It is correct to draft quarterbacks in the top 10, because if you like them, that's where you should be drafting them. So at that point, it wouldn't be a mistake, because the Minnesota Vikings really like JJ McCarthy. It would become a mistake if the franchise is having a debate about this, whether they like him that much or not. If someone in that room is telling them, no, we don't really like JJ McCarthy, then at that point, it becomes a mistake to draft a player.
I think if you process,
for any player, that you have to be, it has to be the right thing for your franchise and you have to be convinced by it.
I think if the process is right, it's never a mistake. You know, you can have the most conviction about a player in the world and they flop, but that wasn't the wrong thing to do because your process was right. Why did we pick him? We thought he was the guy who was going to, he had all the tools we wanted. He interviewed well. He did everything that we wanted to look at in a quarterback. Then your process isn't wrong. So it's not a mistake to do it, because if you get that, if that's right and they turn out right, it's a fantastic decision. But it shouldn't alter your process. Think, oh well, yeah. Well, if he's bad, if you're starting saying if he's bad, then you're wrong completely at that point. So if they pick him and they trade up for them and they give up assets for him, it's the right decision for them at that right time.
Yeah, I think teams mostly view it that way. Right? You're not going to hit on every draft pick. You're going to make mistakes in the draft. That's the beauty of the draft, is that there'll be some hits and there'll be some real lows. Now, I'm not sure owners see it that way, which is where GMs and coaches end up getting fired. But I think back to 49ers trading up for Trey Lance. I'm thinking that looked like a horrendous decision now. But at the time, was that the right thing for that franchise? It might have been, you know, between John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, my mother, we're in a position here, we have to do something at quarterback. Okay, it didn't work out, but it doesn't mean there was a mistake for them to try.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the answer is still yes, no, Trey Lance. We'll get back to
still defending Trey Lance.
No, I'm defending the decision rather than the player, isn't it? And I think we're using JJ McCarthy as an example in this question. Yeah. But it's not necessarily about is drafting JJ McCarthy a mistake. It's the process of making the decision, whether that was a mistake or not the player.
Winding up me, it's okay.
Trey Lance Cowboys starting quarterback next year. Come on. Jokes. Okay, moving on. Thank you, Johnny, for that. Chris, who's more likely to go at 9? I.e., 9 is currently Chicago Bears with their second pick. Jarrett Verse or Joe Alt?
Difficult.
I think it's more likely to be Jarrett Verse, because I don't think Joe Alt will be there at 9. I think he's that good of a prospect I can't see him being available at 9. But even if you have 4 quarterbacks, 3 wide receivers go, which might happen. I still think if he's there, someone would, Atlanta's in a prime position to hoover it up, because they don't need a tackle. Someone will want to get up into, you know, jump the run of tackle teams that's coming. That might be a prime trade spot. So I think it more likely would be Jarrett Verse would go there, because I don't think Joe Alt will be available.
Yeah, I agree with Stu there. I'm going back to thinking about the question, who is more likely to go at 9? Is Alt going to be drafted closer to 9 than Verse, is how I'm thinking of it, rather than
yes.
Jarrett Verse will be there at 9, I suspect. But if Joe Alt's there, I don't think they would pass on him.
From that point of view, I think Alt will be closer to 9.
Yeah.
Than Verse will. I think Verse is probably going to go mid to late teens, if I was honest.
Yeah.
Alt's going to go close to 9.
Yeah.
But I think he'll be off the board. I have a feeling.
Yeah, I think he'll be off the board. I agree. I was just thinking, that is there a scenario where 8 players are drafted in front of Joe Alt?
Yes.
I feel it's unlikely, but I can certainly see it. But yeah, I feel like he'll go as well, I think.
Yeah, so. I guess you would have to be quarterback 4 picks, wide receiver 3 picks, and then you've got that Atlanta. They're not going to pick him, I don't think.
No.
So there is that potential that he is available. They're going to pick a defensive player. But I don't think it's going to be 4 quarterbacks, 3 receivers off the board in that first 7 picks.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Here's one about Brock Bowers, who we had in our mock going at 26. Does he warrant top 10 consideration?
Yes, he does. He is the best tight end prospect that we've ever evaluated. He's better than Kyle Pitts was coming out of college. He's more well-rounded. He can do everything. You just want whether, even if you have a tight end, I would still draft Brock Bowers and just play him in the slot, because he will just hoover up underneath. He can just do everything for you. I think if you're in a team who's in the position, who's got a bit of a luxury pick, can do what they want with it, I'd be taking Brock Bowers.
I'm just going to give an alternative viewpoint on that. I think in other drafts, maybe in this draft, when you have that premium position grouping, that you have enough premium position top 10 picks, is a tight end where you want to spend that capital. I mean, you've got, we've talked about it, quarterbacks, wide receivers, tackles, that could fill a top 10 already. And we've not moved out of a top 10. And we've got that traditionally, some of the, particularly the tackle, quarterback, premium positions, wide receiver is becoming a premium position. You just have to look at how much they're paying these guys now. They're the second best paid after the quarterbacks these days. So for me, I'm not sure I would be considering a tight end. It's close. I think you'll get close to top 10. But I think just because that amount of premium positions, he might just fall outside that. But not far, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think he gets drafted in the top 10 the way things seem to have shaken out. But I think he warrants discussion. I think if you're a team who's got capital, who wants to move up, I don't hate it, because he's that good. And I think you can almost take the tight end label off him here. And we had the same discussion with Kyle Pitts, didn't we? But I think they're entirely different in the way that they're built and the way that they're operated, because Brock Bowers is a do-it-all tight end. He can block just as well as he can catch. And I feel completely different about the two of them, because Kyle Pitts was almost the tight end who was going to be solely a receiver, whereas Brock Bowers is just a do-it-all weapon. I think he warrants top 10 consideration. I just don't think he gets drafted there.
Pencil him in for the Falcons at 8. There we go.
I'll take it.
A pencil. Good yeah, stuff.
Just
okay.
A pencil with one with a rubber on the end.
It's fallen out. Got it.
Right. I'll borrow you one.
Thanks, mate. Right, next we've got Jamie, who says the Bengals will be better set to become a perennial Super Bowl contender by drafting Johnny Newton or Byron Murphy rather than a tackle. He adds Joe Burrow's playing style puts him in danger, not necessarily pass protection. Statement, not a question, but we know what he's getting at. Would the Bengals be better taking a defensive lineman rather than a offensive lineman, given the fact that Joe Burrow hasn't had much protection? And yeah, as he says, does that suit his playing style, or would it just be nice to have a bit of safety, not get all them injuries? What do you reckon?
Yeah, it's a bit of a spicy take, isn't it? I'm not sure I agree with Jamie, I'll be honest with you. Look, defensive tackle, we've got Sheldon Rankins, BJ Hill. Look, we're not on long contracts and we're getting older, so I don't mind defensive tackle here at all. But given the choice over one of these premium tackles who I'm going to have ranked above Byron Murphy, I would be taking a tackle. I really like Johnny Newton, as we've discussed already on the pod. At 18 at this point feels rich for Johnny Newton. I'll have him as a fringe top 10 pick in this draft. I absolutely love him. I think you can't go wrong, but I feel a little bit of an outlier at this point. I know you like him as well, Stu, but the NFL just seems to have fallen out of love with Newton. So I think 18 feels a bit rich for him at this point, although I really like the fit and the pick. Every year we have done, what year are we on for? Every year we've gone, the Bengals need to fix the offensive line. Every single year. Let's just get on with it. Let's draft someone. Because Trent Brown isn't going to play. He's not going to play every game. So you're going to have to need someone to step up there. What do you do? And there's no one there. Deontay Smith is the next person up on the depth chart. Or maybe you move Jackson Carmen across, and he was picked in the second round. I absolutely hated that pick. You're going to need something. And you're going to need guards at some point as well. So, I would be taking the defensive line.
I think they've penciled in for their starters. It's Orlando Brown and Trent Brown, isn't it, as a starting tag? That's not a long-term solution for any team at this stage in their career. These guys have been very good tackles. They've played in successful teams, but they're not in the fresh flush of youth. They've had injury problems. I think that they would be better served drafting, and particularly in this draft, because there is so many good tackles. We don't see this amount every year that we grade so highly, and have such a buzz about. I think that they should take them. I think it would make a bigger difference for the team, short term and longer term as well. And I do think, yes, Johnny Newton, Byron Murphy, we like both of these players, but you've seen teams who have won Super Bowls, done well, who have had guys who played middle of the defence who haven't had to be first rounders. And I think that the offensive line and doing something with that, and possibly even double dipping later on and getting an interior guy for the Bengals, for me, would set them up better than having a really good pass rushing defensive tackle, but two old knackered tackles. I wouldn't be wanting to go into a season with that personally.
Yeah. Like Trent Brown only seems to play well in New England, so you've got to take that into account where he's coming out of that system and can he play as well. And then he only played 11 games last season. He played 17 the year before, but then you go back, he played 9, he played 5, he played 11. So there's not a great deal of history there just to tell you that you feel confident. So he feels like a half a season stopgap for someone else. So I would be trying to fill, I'll be trying to get a right tackle and fill that. And I'd be trading up for one if that's what it took.
There we go. Okay, another one from Johnny. Good question. Which non-first round quarterback has the biggest potential?
Pence gets picked in the first round, doesn't it?
I'm assuming from
Let's
the
take out the big four, yeah.
Yeah, take out your four.
No, I think you're taking out the big six here.
Okay.
But just in case, I don't... So, Williams, May, Daniels, McCarthy, and I don't think you can include Bo Nix or Michael Penix, because although they might fall out, it's too much of an easy answer for the question, Stu.
I like easy answers at this stage. We're getting tired. Come on. Okay. I still can't get off the Spencer Rattler train then.
Yeah, that's it'd be Rattler.
That's for me, who I think. He's had such an up and down career so far in the college ranks. I mean, the year that Sam Howell came out, we were having Spencer Rattler, not us personally, but he was mocked as, in the summer, QB1, QB2. He was going to be a first rounder, and it all went a bit Pete Tong at Oklahoma. He's moved on. I think he's matured. He's not been in the best team in the world, but I think he's done well. There's still something there. I think there's something about that arm talent. And given a bit of time, you know, could he become a serviceable backup guy who comes in and plays a few games for you, does okay? I can see a pathway where that could happen. So, yeah, Spencer Rattler, I'm going to go with him.
Yeah, I'd go with Spencer Rattler as well. I think you're just looking for traits to hang your hat on, and he has all the traits. He's got a huge arm, really good mechanics, can throw the ball anywhere. And then you tie in the fact that we have had concerns over his maturity at times, and the fact he's then had to move from Oklahoma, go to South Carolina, and almost reinvent himself over the humiliation of being overtaken by Caleb Williams, which in the end isn't quite as embarrassing as it looked at that point. But he's had to overcome adversity in that, and the mindset and the kind of big-headedness that we've maybe seen, because he was on QB, the Netflix documentary QB1, and he just looked like a bit full of himself, I suppose, is the polite way of saying it. And I think that's definitely calmed down. I think teams will now understand him a bit more. I think he's got a lot of them. The one that I would throw out there is potentially Michael Pratt, who I think has all that. He's very, very experienced. He doesn't have a huge arm, but he'll just do everything right. And he's the type of guy that you can see hanging around on a roster as maybe a two or a three on a depth chart for a while.
Lovely stuff. One from me now. Ooh, with the changes in special teams, the new kickoff, which is going to be, I don't know, we'll see. Could be great. Could be crazy. Does that change the conversation, especially in the later rounds when you're looking at certain, well, wide receivers or corners, both? Well, in terms of people returning it, does that change the value for them? But also, you know, your blockers, your tight ends, your linebackers. Do you think when you get to the sort of fifth, sixth, seventh, that'll slightly change teams' thinking?
Yeah, so I suppose two parts there to your question. Yes, I think the returners will be given more consideration. You look at maybe a Malachi Coley, who I think will be great at that. Xavier Worthy as well will be great. And then in terms of special teamers later on, that's traditionally what the NFL looks to do. You're in the sixth and the seventh. You're looking at players who have traits who can maybe come in and do something on special teams straight away. And given the way that this draft is, in terms of the later rounds are pretty decimated in terms of talent, like there's a much bigger fall off this year compared to normal because of the amount of players who have gone back to college, that's effectively what you're going to be looking for. Just anyone that you can fill a roster spot with. A lot of these guys are going to end up on practice squads. I don't see the hit rate on sixth and seventh rounders being huge, although it is a decent class, just the way that this draft has fallen out. I think that's the way it'll work. But yeah, I think your returners who are shifty, I think could go early, like Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, I think savvy teams are going to look at that, aren't they? Anywhere that they can gain an advantage. You know, we talk traditionally about defensive and offensive. There really is three teams in a successful team, and special teams does play a big part in that. And looking at anybody that can gain you that 1% advantage over another team. So these guys now, they're going to have a different opportunity of how to return the ball. You are going to maybe look at, yeah, these guys who are good with the ball in their hands, whether that's a traditional wide receiver, corner, even a running back, someone who's going to have that explosive and home run hitting ability. They might find themselves on a roster where maybe they weren't quite so keen to have these players before. So in his lines, right, you know, day three is going to be full of these kind of guys who, you know, okay, well, this guy can give me something here. That might just be enough to push us that little percent forward from what we had before. So, yeah, I think the change in rules will be interesting to see how that works out.
Indeed, indeed. Good stuff. Another one for Johnny. It being a weak linebacker class, where do you expect the first off the board? Sorry, who do you expect to be the first off the board and when?
I don't know. It depends on who you like. I guess I don't think we'll see a linebacker come off until round three, possibly late round two. But for me, round three seems to be, there's a lot of good players at other positions for me, I think, that you could probably delve into and get linebacker. It depends on what people think of Peyton Wilson's injury history. I think he's probably the guy that most teams will like if they look at that. But there's some people like Edgerrin Cooper, Junior Colson, you know, some of these guys are higher in the linebacker class. But again, round one and two, probably, definitely not. I don't see anyone coming off in round one. If it's round two, it's going to be in that 50s plus range, I think, for me.
Yeah, I was going to say 50s. I can see maybe something like the Eagles picking a linebacker up with one of their second rounders. They have 50 and 53 off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. I could see one of those being a linebacker. Does one go earlier than that? Probably not. My favourite of the lot would be Junior Colson. I'm much higher on him than the others. But I think Peyton Wilson will probably be the first one off the board. So it wouldn't shock me if Junior Colson does go highly. I think you might get one, possibly two in round two, and then you might see a cluster of them come off the board in round three.
There we go. Okay, one from Lee. Which team is best placed to trade into the first round from the start of the second? And who do you think they trade up for? We touched on it very briefly at the end of the last pod, but yeah, let's dive into that.
I know who I think it'll be. He's tried it in our mock draft. So that's
Commanders. I feel like this, I've got a bit of conviction about it. Whether they do it or not, I feel like it's something they definitely should do.
As long as you've got conviction, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I think that this is what they should do. And why not? I don't understand why they wouldn't, really, if they can find a willing partner. But yeah, I think for me, it would be the Washington Commanders, who have got 36 and 40. Package them up, go and get yourself a tackle, because you're going to draft a quarterback. You're then going to sit with tackles are Cornelius Lucas and Andrew Wiley. Go and get yourself a tackle. And we're on about before, what's the right decision? You wouldn't come away. It doesn't matter if that player doesn't hit that they go and take. That would be the right decision to go and do that.
Yeah, I was just watching some bits and bobs before we came on. And then I think it was Lance Zuerlein's on the NFL Network. He obviously agrees with you, Owen. He had the Washington Commanders coming back into round one, trading with the Buccaneers for Amarius Mims. He'd fallen a little bit, so totally on the same line. Yeah, they've got two picks just right at the top end of day two. Why not use that as a, you know, there's plenty of teams that think, okay, yeah, what we want isn't, you know, for example, maybe somebody whose needs aren't quite what the draft was, like a Green Bay, we've talked about that. You know, their needs are a bit out of line with what possibly the draft board might look like. Would they take a couple of second rounds and switch that out? Yeah, I think they probably would. So they're a team. It's interesting to see what I wonder if Carolina, just because they're at the bottom of, sorry, the top of day two, won't take them a lot to move up. And if there's a guy, you know, particularly they're looking at some weapons for Bryce Young, if they think they really need to get a certain guy just before to jump maybe a couple of that teams at the bottom of the first round, who might be looking at a receiver, they're potentially a team that might come into that thinking as well.
Okay, one from Lee. Oh, we've just done Lee. Sorry, Lee. Back to Johnny. Who's the one player you expect to go higher than many anticipated?
I think there's two different ways you can answer this question, right? So I'm thinking, do I frame my answer as in a player who I think will go higher, as in higher in the draft, and that player would be Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle from Texas, who I think has a real chance of going to someone like the Bears at 9. I think he's going to go much earlier than people think. And then I was thinking, a player that I really like that I could see sneaking in that maybe people aren't speaking about is Max Melton, the corner from Rutgers, who, if he went at the back end of the first round, it wouldn't surprise me, because he is an athletic freak who also has the tape to back it up. I think he should be spoken about a lot more. He's my cornerback 6 in this class. He should be getting more recognition than he is. So he could be one that people go, who, on draft night, but is a really, really good player.
Yeah, I think a player who could go high that maybe people are not thinking of is Ryan Thomas.
Yeah,
I think he has a potential to go very, very high. A bit rich for me, but you know, I think that, you know, our early teens people, I could see people trading up for him who are desperate for a wide receiver. And particularly if your likes of Vegas and Denver are not sold on picking a quarterback where they are, but would take a bit of assets and maybe pick a quarterback later on, you know, your likes of Buffalo, you know, whoever desperate for a receiver can't, you know, I know they don't have a lot of assets, but in someone else, you know, even Jacksonville, someone wanting to come up and grab that receiver. A player that could, you know, we're talking about sneaking into first rounds if all the tackles have gone. Another tackle from Washington, Rosengarten. I think that he, you know, he's done a really good job there. There's that cluster of tackles around about him. Suramata, you know, someone along that lines in the last couple of picks in the draft, it wouldn't shock me if that was the case either.
I'll throw another tackle at you there then. How about Patrick Paul? We're not fans on the podcast.
Yeah, we're not.
We are not fans of Patrick Paul, but...
I know teams like traitsy players, but he's massive but slow. And they're like massive and fast. I don't know. Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if someone does it, and you think, oh, it's one of those you go, oh, when the pick comes in.
That pick comes in, don't know how many beers deep we'll be anyway, so it won't really matter.
Yeah, we'll be laughing.
Ah, good stuff. I think that's all the questions. I've got a final question for you guys. Bit off topic, but also very on topic. A lot of people will be watching it this week. What was it, Draft Day, the movie? Do you rate it or do you think it's garbage?
No, it's awesome.
Oh, wrong.
No, it's not wrong.
It's just I want it to be good. I want it to be good.
I cannot answer that because I've never watched it.
Oh, don't.
I've never watched the movie.
I've just annoyed a lot of people by saying that. But
well, I'm in the middle because I've never watched it, so that might be what I go and do just now. And I can give you an opinion next time.
Do it. Fontaine Mac, no matter what. Brilliant cheese, unrealistic as hell, but absolutely.
I like the cheese, but it's just like it's too, it's just there's a line, it's just past it, and it's like, oh.
No.
Let me get, I've never seen it. Let me guess. I'm not even gonna to get the quarterback that they really wanted in the end.
No.
No, sad times. That should be happening. Everyone would be happy and it'd be a great movie.
No, there we go.
Final we need to get question in from Duncan on who is Stuart.
Oh, yes.
We need to get that one in because that's aimed at Stu and we need to get the answer.
Yeah, all right. So from last one from Duncan, who is Stu's George Pickens for this year's draft?
Ooh, and I'll need to talk to Duncan. Does he mean who is my player that I'm banging the drum for, or who's the wide receiver that I like? I don't know what he's asking.
Well,
So it's Creed Humphrey and George Pickens have been my guys. Probably Troy Fotanu this year. I think he's maybe not quite as a lower down pick as those two guys, but he's my guy I'm going for this year. That's a guy I'm all behind, unless the Jets draft him, then I hate him.
And yours, Johnny Newton,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it feels a bit of a, because he's already so good that it feels a bit cold. It give you a late round one who I think is Qantas Stiggers, who is played in the CFL for the Toronto Argonauts, and mock drafts will have him go in 5, 6, 7 in rounds. He could go a little bit earlier and completely outplay it.
Nice.
If we're going to go for our later guys, then Kieran Amagaji, I don't know, that's again surprise offensive lineman. he's the guy that I'm going to go for, and I think that he will possibly go somewhere on day two, I think.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. And I'd say out of the bag of the drum, you've got a slightly better record, Stu, than Owen.
Pickens and Creed Humphrey, I'll take that. That's not a bad combo, is it? I'm ignoring all the ones that I was like, yeah, they're amazing. And who was my one last year? Defensive kind of end lineman. He went way lower than I thought he was going to go. Oh, come on. Adebowari.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. He went to the Colts in the fourth, didn't he?
Yeah. We'll ignore that year. We'll just go for the other two.
Yeah. Stick with your wins, mate. Stick with the good vibes. But yeah. Sorry, Duncan. Nearly missed your question off there. But thankfully, I was checking this as well. But yes, that's it. That's all your questions. Thank you very much. You can still send us some more. We might check them out. But that's it. We'll be back after the draft at some point. We'll see when that is. It's got to be a busy weekend for us all. Enjoy the draft. Hope the team pick all the players that you want for them. And I guess all that's left to do is for me and all the listeners to thank Owen and Stu for their time and the effort that they put into doing this. I mean, they do it because they love it, but they're very good at it and they're kind enough to share it all with us. It's great being honest with you guys. I get to experience it firsthand. You use a really good work, so thank you very much. There we go. That's it for another season. Season 4 of the Draft Talk podcast. Cannot wait for Thursday/Friday/Saturday/Sunday. It's going to be a long one. But yes, thank you very much for listening for the whole time and this episode as well. We'll see you soon. See you guys.